Today in the studio, we have Jeff. We also have Scott. We have a couple of first-timers in here as well. We have Jake. We also have Bryisha, who's in here as well. And we also have Vincent, a.k.a. V-Butter. Vincent is a rapper, a businessman, an entrepreneur. Go ahead and introduce yourself, Vincent.
Yeah. How y'all doing? This is Vincent Anderson, a.k.a. V-Butter, founder of the League of Champions. Up-and-coming artist from Uptown New Orleans.
Sure. And go ahead, Bryisha. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
I'm Bryisha, the founder and CEO of the People vs. Politics campaign. And I'm also a youth advocate, activist, and mentor and poet.
Cool. And then we also have Jake, first time as well. Go ahead, Jake.
Hi, I'm Jake Germaine. I'm just a friend of the show.
Just a dude. All right, awesome. So... So it's great to have y'all in here. So how's everybody doing today?
I'm doing pretty good.
Feeling good. I mean, it's right around Christmas time.
Even though it is, like, yeah. Christmas. Yeah. This show's gonna be releasing on Christmas Eve. So this is gonna be a very special, Christmas episode. So
most definitely.
Let's just start with our guests. So I guess talk a little bit about your work, Vincent, and then we can come around to Bryisha as well.
All right. Well, I'm an artist first, V-Butter. I got my name from my aunt, like right after Hurricane Katrina. So I just kind of took that name. Plus, that was my brother's name, and, you know, he's deceased now, so I kind of carried that name, and I just took it more in depth and to heart after that. You can find my music, you know, everywhere, from streaming platforms to whatever type of platform they have out there these days.
Is it all V-Butter?
Yeah, V-Butter, V-B-U-T-T-A.
Cool.
As far as for the other side, I have the League of Champions. That's like a brand. That's like, you know, my brand that I'm building. It's, you know, it's bigger than really just a brand. It, like, it started with a mindset. It's called the League of Champions because it's like, it's a way that I use to uplift people. So it's like I put that in their mind that they can overcome those odds, and it could be better than what's in front of them or what looked like that's at stake at the moment. So that's why I call it the champion mentality. So, you know, League of Champion, and, you know, the logo is a gorilla. I think that's a, you know, a real strong animal that, you know, gets through different odds or scars and different things. And it's not even related just to King Kong and other little figures like that. So
gorillas are cool.
Yeah.
All right, cool. And Bryisha, you want to talk a little bit about People vs. Politics Project?
Yeah, definitely. So the People vs. Politics campaign came about when I was having a conversation with my friend Kareem Kennedy, who used to work over at the Walkman Project. And me and him, we were both seeing a lot of different corrupt things going on between his job and in the mayor's office. So I was like, you know what? I'm tired of going the route of asking the government for this to get this done. So I created the People versus Politics campaign, where we're bridging the gap between people and politicians in order to bring necessary resources to communities across New Orleans, while also understanding that it's my campaign responsibility and a community responsibility to generate that wealth and financial income so that we can develop different things in communities across New Orleans as well.
Cool. And so... yeah, that's really great to have all y'all in the studio today. So what are some of the things that are like inspirations for the projects that you guys have engaged on? What are some of the objectives? What are some of the goals? And how would you know if you succeeded like going forward, specifically with People vs. Politics and with League of Champions?
First,
Go ahead, Reese.
Okay, I'll go. So the people versus politics, man, I got inspired because I grew up in the projects. Mm-hmm. So to see a lot of the stuff still in place from the time I was a little girl to the time I'm as an adult, it's like I have to give back to youth and families and residents, period, across this city, because as we all see here, the people who are in leadership and empowered that are able to do so, they aren't doing it.
Right.
So, you know, I look at my communities, I look at the projects especially, and people I work with all the time, and by me knowing these systems and knowing how to navigate mm-hmm. through them, I feel like it's my responsibility to kind of be like, hey, this is how you do this, this is how you do that, this is an organization you go to get the resources you need, X, Y, and Z. And the long-term goal for that is to kind of get the entire city behind this campaign so that we can, you know, form some sort of unity. So I'm not just getting what I need from Jeff, but Jeff is also getting what I need from Jake and Vincent and this, you know, this
right.
this unity
people
thing.
People actually working together to right. solve each other's
yeah.
issues. Now, just let me follow up real quick. You said you have some experience in engaging with process around these sorts of things. What kind of experience is that, and what kind of things have you sort of seen in terms of how stuff works? And we'll get back to...
Okay. So I've worked at NORD, which is the New Orleans Recreation Department. I've worked at the Youth Study Center, which is the City Juvenile Justice Department. I've worked in the mayor's office, which runs everything down there in the city.
Right.
I've worked with any nonprofit organization you can name in the state of Louisiana. So just to kind of work with those organizations, see the corruptions in some and not see the corruptions in some, I feel like I've got, you know, knowledge, although I'm not closed-minded to learning more, to
sure.
kind of say, let me, you know, start this campaign and get this ball rolling.
Cool. And how about for you for the for like sort of the inspirations, and where do you think, you know, your object, you know, you what do you think your objectives of the League of Champions and stuff like that are, Vincent?
Well, mine's the same as Braisha. Mm-hmm. Kind of like coming from the same environment. We actually from the same neighborhood. We just
What neighborhood?
Shout out to the MILF.
Yeah, there you go.
Uptown.
There you go.
So we from the same neighborhood. We just years apart. You know, our relationship goes back to like me being in like the eighth grade of this summer, and she started off as just my coach, and then just you know, like a big sister, and then like kind of like a mentor, and kind of like just teaching me things as we go along, and just, you know, just guide through life. But as far as like just the League of Champions, I would like to just like, you know, start off with the youth. But I feel like, you know, it's just bigger than you. It's just for people in general. But what inspires me is my area and my environment. Like, you know, I come from this environment, so I'm trying to, you know, put it in people's minds and let them see that you can get out this environment. You could be bigger than what they see every day around their neighborhood, because, you know, you don't really have nothing, you know, they don't really have nothing for the kids. They didn't really have a lot for me growing up, but I kind of just chose those right mm-hmm. paths and make those right moves. You know, it wasn't perfect, but, you know, that's just the way life set up at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So that kind of what's inspired me the most. My family, you know, my family inspires me also just to do better. You know, my grandmother, just things like that just kind of keeps me up and keeps me motivated.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as like for projects wise, what you were saying, like as far as the music side, I mean, for me, my main thing is just to try to touch as much people as I can, you know, because like I said, just touching the people, because it's like, you know, I might say something in the song that it might relate to you, it might make you feel better, it might, you know, help you going through what you're getting through, because I say that I got through that same obstacle, so that might help you feel better at night. Just going on, you might have to listen to it over and over and just play it in your head. So as long as I touch the people and get my recognition and just move on and keep going up and up, that's the way I seem like I succeed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so in sort of concrete terms, what are some things that you see sort of like out in the community that they need the most sort of like urgently, like the most directly, some of the most like when you see somebody in the community like or across the community, what are some of the things that folks need in terms of like material support? Like what are the things that they need?
Resources.
Yeah. So like what kind of like
As far as for adults, maybe like uh-huh. just like jobs, a different type of center, just more resources in those type of departments, just helping, you know, maybe funding, whatever it might be for kids, stuff to do, like better playgrounds, parks, gyms, pools, more after school programs, more different things like that, like all type of stuff. Anything just to keep them out the streets from making that one decision because, you know, like they say, it's like, I know they say it different, but it's like, it's a thin line, but from making that right decision and that wrong decision, as far as that one decision could change your life, and that could be for the good, it could be for the worse. So
And I find a lot of times when it comes to, you know, individuals making good decisions or bad decisions or whatever, a lot of the things that goes into how people will make decisions is what are the sort of influential, like I'm a teacher, right? So what are the things that what are the options that they have available? Do they have good things that they could be doing and spending their time with? And what is the sort of like social, you know, cost and benefits of that? You know, so essentially, like, how is something in particular like be viewed in the community by the kids or one another, you know, themselves? Like, would they, and the only way that can mean anything is if it comes from that community, correct?
Right.
So I guess in terms of, you know, if you're the mayor's office or whatever, or if you're, you know, any of these other nonprofits or anything like that, or I'm thinking specifically about the school system and they have all these charters coming in with Teach for America teachers that aren't from here.
Right.
That's not coming from the community. That's people coming from outside the community saying,
right,
this is what you need, as opposed to the community saying, we're going to, you know, this is what we need, you know.
It's all based on that, you know, environment and the community. And on another note, they just need the right guidance and they need the right people that's in power, the right leadership, because it all starts with the leader. You know, it all starts with the person who's over something. And you have those people that may be in office or even over just like the complex, the neighborhood, like, you know, those type of things. If they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing, then how somebody else going to, you know, even get on track or do stuff like that? Because it all starts with that type of power and everybody don't
what
know
what kind of modeling is happening in the community even.
Right. And everybody don't understand, you know, everybody can't handle that type of power of being in charge, I would say, at the most.
You ain't kidding there.
So that's really what it is about that.
Cool.
I mean, it is weird to see the city change so much these days. Like, I mean, like they don't even have neighborhoods like they used to anymore. Like, they just started renaming everything, like the Marigny. That didn't used to be called the Marigny, you know?
That wasn't really a thing.
That was the 8th Ward.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
So I think they're just trying to. They changing things. I just think as far as right now, they're trying to fit into like other cities and China.
Using other city models. Like, works for the city of New Orleans and it doesn't.
I think in New York, they used to have, like, whatever they called Tribeca used to be called, like, the Piano District, and I think they're trying to do stuff
That's the Bronx,
Yeah, whatever. But they're just trying to, like...
So, like, an upgrade, gentrification type stuff. I mean, they have people walking dogs through the neighborhood.
Right? Vince, I wouldn't call gentrification an upgrade, not in this city.
No, I mean, not an upgrade, but I'm saying that's basically what they're trying to do. Yeah. I'm just saying.
It depends on who you ask, right?
I mean, I'm not saying it like that. I'm just saying, like, you know, they building all these, you know, just the new houses and all around the complexes and things like that.
Airbnb is everywhere.
Right.
I definitely want to piggyback on the Airbnb. My problem with these contractors and these real estate developers and all these people who want to come in our city and build these properties and turn them to Airbnbs or whatever. But first, you have to make it affordable for us.
Yeah.
We was here first, the residents.
Yeah.
And if you are going to make that much profit off Airbnb or whatever you're going to do with it, find ways to pour back into that community, whether it is a school, it's a business, it's a family, whatever. That's my problem.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's the, like that. That's the opposite of the point of Airbnb, right? The point of Airbnb is that, you know, this landowner or this person that owns this apartment or whatever, they wanna just make as much money as possible. They don't give a damn.
So the city should hold them accountable.
Yes, 100%.
Because this is our city.
Yeah.
And we allow what happens in this city. But the residents, me, Vincent, you, we still have to live here.
Yeah. And what ends up happening with these Airbnbs is that they start snapping up all these entire, you know, be the buildings or blocks or whatever, and it makes it so that there's less housing and the housing that stays costs more. So the people who are here either have to, you know, the jobs around here aren't getting any better. You know, there's no situation. So basically the people, and this is what it is, I mean, gentrification is a word. Adolf Reed, who's a professor from Philadelphia, his friend, he's from New Orleans, he calls it rent intensified redevelopment. Basically, yeah. What it basically is, you know, just really pricing rents up to get people out so that they can change the way the city functions. The people that are literally the people in the city just kind of change that entire structure, and remaking the city in that sort of model. It's really messed up because it has no care for the people that are already here.
I just wanted to add, so many of the different kinds of developments in the city have been focused on, you know, what can we do for tourists who come in, and what we can do to make this more of an adult Disneyland. So there's really almost nothing to do for kids. Like, if you bring it up, there's, you know, they have the zoo, they can go to the insectarium, that's like about it, you know?
And I think if you was to ask that to one of these political leaders, they would say, oh, we have NORD. But NORD isn't doing what NORD is supposed to do. So just like you said, there aren't really that many opportunities for you.
I mean, they have stuff, but it's not like places, it's not like things that like people build communities around. It'll be like a cool movie night or something, but it's like you have to get the word out to everybody. It has to become a community movie night. It can't just be a movie night that you just happen to have and be like, hey, you know, get three people to show up.
Yeah. And there's not a lot of money going into NORD, is there?
That's what people think.
So people think there's not a lot of money?
Yeah.
But there is a lot of money.
Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely.
Definitely.
But that money is going... It's not going to... So a lot of money is going into NORD. But you wouldn't know it because what NORD's doing...
It's just enough.
Yeah, you can see it's not self-facing. Where's that money going?
You can see there's a lot of money coming in and no money going out.
Whose pockets are going in, right? Let me pause real quick for station ID. You're listening to WHIV-LP New Orleans 102.3. This show is called Good Morning Comrade. We're talking with Vincent and with Bryisha. We also have Scott, Jacob, and Jeff in the studio. You can check us out every Tuesday morning at 8 o'clock, and you can check out goodmorningcomrade.com for more information. So,
I heard somebody tell me something the other day about how we're not using any more money to like work on things for the city. We're just kind of like, and being that like less and less people are living here because of Airbnbs, like the revenue is going down. And when all these like contractors are like, hey, we're going to build some this or that.
We're going to build a Hard Rock.
They're just like, fine, we'll just take even less tax money. So like, that's why like nothing's getting fixed anymore.
Or the sewage and water board just completely doesn't even maintain its system because it's being hollowed out to be sold off, right?
My thing with sewage and water board is, in New Orleans with energy, you can walk out and read your meter and dispute a bill if energy say, hey, whatever happens. With sewage and water board, as residents, we are unable to dig under the ground to go dispute anything with sewage and water board. So when we get these bills that are hiked up, we have to solely depend on the lawyer.
Can you just like set the table for the situation with the bills, because there's a whole bunch of people that have been getting incredibly ridiculously high bills, and there's no way to really fight them.
Yeah, sure, I can definitely you know, talk a little bit about that. I was really shocked when I went over to my sister's house. She lives in New Orleans East, and she showed me a bill for like $3,000. And I know my sister.
$3,000. That is a lot of money for
and
water.
I know my sister isn't using that much water because she's at work most of the time. But it's like, how can your bill go from $125 to $500, sometimes from $500 if you have a business, to $2,000? It's like, how, as a resident or a business owner, can I go down to Sewage and Water Board and say, hey, I'm right, y'all are wrong? So now, Sewage and Water Board is telling everybody, y'all are wrong, here's y'all payments plan, and we don't know what that money is going towards, because we really don't know if our bill is really that high, because we can't dig in the ground and go read that.
Right.
Like, we can read our meter.
Yeah.
So we definitely need another contractor to come
in
the city to control our water, because as we can see over all of these years, Sewage and Water Board haven't been doing the job that it should have been doing, and the previous mayors in those positions haven't been holding them accountable.
Now, you're saying that a contractor needs to come in to...
We need to look at multiple contractors to see which one is best fit for the city, because right now, Sewage and Water Board isn't working.
Right. Is there a way to have it? Because that would mean you're hiring somebody privately to manage the public good of water, right? Is that something... Is the way that the... Could we... Not articulating this particularly well, but like, is it possible to have a publicly run sewage and water board that essentially is accountable to people? Because once you start doing the contract, I mean, that sounds to me like charter schools, right?
So here's the thing. We can look at it. We can look at it two ways. We can go the contract route, or we can keep sewage and water board, strategically plan or dismantle whatever sewage and water board got going on and fix it.
Uh-huh.
Or we can, like I say, contractors, or we dismantle and fix sewage and water board.
Rebuild it. Right.
Because
that's
right
the
now,
two options.
It's not beneficial to residents, right. Not to all residents.
Mm-hmm. It just has to be, something's got to change.
Yeah, something has to change. And I think the urgent thing would be dismantling sewage and water board, scrapping everything and starting all over. And the last plan would to be to reach out to contractors who would be interested in, you know, being New Orleans' place for water.
Right. Okay.
All I can say is they keep digging up holes in my street and just, like, leaving them there. It's driving me nuts.
That's why the bill's $2,000. They dig in.
They got, once they start running out of potholes to fix, they got to start making their own, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But what do y'all usually perform at?
I perform at the House of Blues, the Willow, just a couple of different venues. I don't really like average perform lately. I just been working on this big project and doing things outside of music, like, you know, I'm working on a book and things like that based on one of my songs called The Young Boy Story. So I'm turning that to a book.
Y'all go check that out.
Young Boy Story? Definitely.
Yeah, it's called The Young Boy Story.
Is that on your previous album?
Yeah, it's on No Sympathy. That's my last project.
I don't know where they can find it at, Vince.
You can find it everywhere, you know, streaming platforms, Apple Music, Tidal, all those different platforms. But
V-Butter.
Yeah, so that's
the butter.
So that's definitely next with the book. You know, that's in works as we speak right now. I just been working on this project. I haven't performed in probably like maybe a couple months. So
you just kind of in the laboratory right now?
Yeah, I'm just kind of thinking because this project is probably, this is going to be my best project ever. So I'm just taking out everything and putting all my focus in and trying new methods, new flows, new everything, new beats, just all different type of styles for this new project. So that's why I'm just kind of all in with it, just like I normally be, but this one real heavy. Mm-hmm. As I would say.
Nice. You let us listen to a little bit and it's pretty well mastered, you know, like pretty great. Like, do you record at a certain place or do you produce your own work?
I record at Sonola across the river. That's like a little studio, like right across the river on General Gall. And sometimes I go on Tulane, so that's kind of like, you know, the two places where I record at, just those two.
Like a studio at Tulane?
Not Tulane. I meant to say like Tulane.
Off of
Avenue.
Tulane.
Yeah, off of
Tulane.
My bad.
Don't get them Tulane students in trouble.
Nah, but on Tulane Avenue right there by the Burger King, Nike Factory, that area.
By the Carrollton and stuff?
Yeah, Carrollton.
Yeah, where the storage center is.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Cool.
So that's like the two spots where I go record it for right now. I'm looking into, I think it's a studio on St. Claude. I think it's called Mahogany Studios or something like that.
Oh, I'm not
familiar. Yeah, it's a big studio I'm looking into.
Cool.
So, you know, even sort of, you know, the quality even be much better for this next project.
Cool.
And you said you're a performer too?
Oh, yeah, I'm a poet. It's real random when I perform, like if a school reach out to me or if somebody reach out to me, but I'm just like working on policy and politics right now. So it's real random if I spit a poem somewhere.
So look out just anywhere in general, and she might show up.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'm always, I think God has been finding the time to put me in the places I need to be to spit the poems I need to spit.
She be in a special place. She don't be anywhere. Don't tell them people like you be anywhere spitting poems and stuff. She go to special places, special places.
I don't know about all that.
You make it count.
Yeah, special places. Because I be with her, so I know. Oh. She be in special places.
Nice. Okay. So in terms of like specifically with the priorities of both of your projects, you mentioned Nord, you mentioned getting jobs to folks. Are those like the two main priorities, or are there any others that you're sort of looking at in terms of like what you're you're looking at in terms of tackling, kind of going forward with people versus politics and with the league?
I mean, that's for them. What I call it is for the everyday champions. I don't want to like down those people, the everyday working people, you know, anybody that's in that type of atmosphere.
Yeah,
that's why I just said like that's just for the everyday champions, the people who are just getting up every day, mm-hmm. just going to work or doing whatever they
just
you
living.
Know, yeah, just living, just doing whatever they got to do, you know, for them, for their family, for whatever. Maybe the reason. So that's why, you know, that's why I say jobs, just opportunities. I mean, some people know how to create their own opportunities. They know how to use their gifts. They may be artists, it may be poets, or different, you know, they may how to use their gifts where they might don't have to work, you know, so-called an everyday job. But it's for the other people that, you know, they have families and mouths to feed and all those type of people, because they have a lot of people in those environments, and you know, they really be hurting, like, you know, just going through real life crisis, and it seems like nobody really not running about them, and he's struggling. And sometimes, most times, that leads to people going down, you know, those wrong paths. Because if you look at it, you know, if you're in that environment or you're in that situation where, like I said in the song, where, you know, the job's not calling you back or nobody's really there, and like the people in power don't have no type of resource or anything for you to do, and you kind of just stuck. So it's like, what do? You sit there, starve, hurt, or let your family and everybody suffer, or you get up and do something about it? So that's kind of what I mean, like, on that regard.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Braisha?
I think for me, my long-term goal with, you know, a couple of things that I mentioned earlier, NORA, the Youth Study Center, and a couple of other systems I've worked with, is to kind of dismantle or kind of bridge gaps and, you know, kind of overcome challenges that are within many of those areas. And through my campaign and with the support of my team, I strongly feel like we can do so. Again, my main focus is building unity, because I understand that we can't fix any of this working in silos or these groups that we're grouped off in.
What kind of community partners have you sort of developed over the years? You can shout out individual groups if you'd like, if that have been working out with you or not. I mean,
I definitely want to shout out. It's just a long list.
Just the top, you know.
I definitely
want
to give a shout out to Erase the Board Coalition, Dr. Wire, Cap 2 Cent, Leroy Crawford with I Am Second First.
Yeah, we had Dr. Wyatt on the show a little while ago.
Yeah, Dr. Wyatt is real
She's cool, man.
Mm-hmm.
She knows her stuff.
Yeah, she does. I mean, so many organizations. Step Up Louisiana is doing some good work. The People versus Politics campaign, we're doing some good work. I mean, shout out to all the organizations. Like, if y'all going to listen to this, I can't name everybody, but I appreciate y'all supporting me, and
shout
out to y'all.
Yeah, community partners. I mean, that's like one of the most important things, is sort of like having. Because, I mean, these groups.
Oh, wait, Jeff, I got to shout out two more organizations.
Shout them out.
My friend is going to go crazy. Shout out to Ubuntu Village.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Shout out to Youth Rebuilding New Orleans.
Uh-huh. Okay, cool. But, yeah. I mean, like, I don't know. There's these coalitions that sort of develop amongst these large groups. They're critical, I mean, because that's just like people have these, you know, like different issues, and you're sharing all this commonality and pushing your agenda forward using that, you know? That's the community coming together.
Yep.
Cool.
And it just doesn't work with one organization trying to make it work, because there's so many issues that we have to tackle in this city alone.
It's not possible. I mean, no singular organization.
It's all connected to it. It's just real separate.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, not to say that like you can't have different sort of like centers where these sort of like coalition partners coalesce around. But I mean, that's just something that's going to end up happening. It's just got to happen in a certain sense. All right, cool. All right, so let's talk about some projects that you have worked on in the past. What are some things that you have worked on, either be they political or be they, you know, artistic, from both y'all? Let's just kind of get a little background on some of those.
My most recent project is No Sympathy. Came out a little while back. That project just takes you on the journey of a lot of different changes in my life, as far as people and me doing better and seeing a lot of backlash and those different type things. So the name of the project is No Sympathy. I named it No Sympathy because it's like, you know, you kind of get to a point where you show so much love and you try to help so many people, and that kind of only hurts you from a certain point of view. So it's not, it's like you just not run about those things. You just kind of move forward and you just have no type of regards or remorse, and you just going forward and doing what you have to do. Mm-hmm. So that just takes the whole journey from track 1 to 9. You know, they have songs on that like The Young Boy Story and Dripping and Sauce and all those different type of things, and just overcoming those obstacles, basically. That's what it is. Project before then is it's called Steady Pacing. I call it Steady Pacing because I feel like, you know, steady pacing wins the race. So it's like, you know, not rushing. Right. Just, you know, keep moving, keep going. No matter whatever come your way, I'm just steady pacing, either the good or the bad. So if the good come, I'm not getting, you know, over my head with it. And if the bad come, I'm just, you know, taking it to the chin and just doing my absolutely best to keep moving forward. And those songs have, my notable songs on that project is like Brotherly Love and 100 Plus, Doing What I Want, all those different type of things. And it just takes you, it takes people from the journey of me turning from being 12 all the way up until 20. So it's like, it's just, every project I give you a journey. I always, you know, I give you inside my life, those different type of songs. Is I'm just telling it from all points of view, but it's still, it's relatable to me. It's relatable to some other people and other people that come from those environments.
Cool. And and the project you're working on now is called
Against the Odds.
Against the Odds. And tell us a little bit about that.
Against the Odds, this one is kind of talking about, this one is more in depth. So it's like, it's talking, it's like kind of like political, but it's talking about, you know, the more severe parts of the environments and just overcoming those things and, you know, racism and poverty, you know, all those different things that people are facing, and just being those eyes every day, just trying to stay out the way and trying to stay out of trouble. And, you know, some songs are me overcoming those obstacles, and some songs are just about those obstacles or what I went through or what I felt, and just to let the people know the different things I've been going, you know, going through, went through, whatever the case is. I actually have a track on there with Braisha. It's a song called Hope.
Oh yeah, you do.
So,
it's a, that's, so on, it's a, that's on this track right now.
No, it's not on this track.
Not on this track. On this album, I mean.
Yeah, it's on this one. Album. It's actually number 2, and mm-hmm. it's called Hope.
Mm-hmm.
I am honored.
So, you know, Hope. Just, you know, relating to that song, Hope is just like, you know, just basically just going, you know, it's basically give you the inside of what you feel when you down, like when you kind of just down to your last, and it's just going through all those changes of that inside mindset or whatever you may be feeling at the time. But the whole thing about it is just really against the odds. The cover is me leaning on a car with a child, which is my little cousin, and aww. The child represents like family, and I'm big on family and, you know, sticking together with family for family, and that's like my biggest motivation. And the car is like my champion for me overcoming from, you know, from walking, from riding a bike, from getting my car, then getting a better car, and just moving up and up the ladder and just making it better for me and the people around me. And I actually have a song called The Champions on there. So that's like towards the end of the project. So the project really gonna take you through a journey of a lot. Politics, poverty, you know, all those different type of things. It's gonna have, you know, some songs for the people around my age, a little drip, a little sauce, or what we say for those different type of songs. Relationships, bad relationships, good relationships.
Yeah,
it's an album. It's everything. An album. It's an album.
Can you make songs about good relationships?
kind of. I ain't had too many good relationships.
Not yet.
That's to me one of the future albums.
Yeah, and that's kind of one of my things I'm working on for this project, is something for the female. Something people can kind of vibe to. Besides, you know, a little hype or a little pain. I mean, people don't always want to be down. Sometimes they want to be happy.
Can you make some for the married couples?
There you go. You are listening to WHIVLP New Orleans 102.3. This is Good Morning Comrade. We have Vince, V Butter, and Raisha in. You want to talk a little bit about your contribution to the album? Or, or any of your projects in the past? Or not?
Man, I've covered a lot since an 8-year-old little girl. Like, my first poem was literally about my big brother getting shot at Carter G. Woodson. From that, I had wrote about violence and a lot of things that I had seen in New Orleans, and I just became more and more involved in not only my community, but in my city. So I can sit here and talk about projects I've did all day, but Vince, you know my work. The community know my work.
Right. Yeah.
I've worked at the Dry's YMCA. I've created partnerships with them. Mm-hmm. I've worked with Cure Violence when it was ceasefire. I've created partnerships with them. I was responsible for the mayor's most recent Family Day and first inaugural Father's Day Fest.
Oh,
I took the lead on that. Man, I've been working. Mm-hmm. I've been working. And now with the People versus Politics campaign, it's really time to put all that work together with the skill sets and knowledge I've compiled and really give that back to my city.
Cool. One of the projects that a group I'm involved with, the Democratic Socialists of America, we've been, amongst others, we've been, doing like political campaigning. We put together, or we did a lot of canvassing for Marguerite Green. She ran for the State Agriculture Commissioner and stuff like that. And one of the projects that we've been doing, sort of like one of our first ones, was we were changing folks' brake lights because of one of the reasons that people often, unneededly harassed by police and things like that is because they're stopped for no kit, and a lot of times that's just a brake light out, which is we've been sort of like setting up clinics throughout the city to sort of help folks out for that kind of thing. So I can definitely see where you're coming with that. I don't know, that's in terms of like little direct service sorts of things, do y'all see those things as sort of positive or
yeah
and that can be sort of built on? And
I think direct service.
What?
You was about to go?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. I think we need more direct services, especially in low-income projects. And it's a shame that I'm still sitting here in 2019 saying we still have low-income projects.
Right.
For y'all who don't know what that means, low-income projects are for people who make a certain amount of money, which is 9 times out of 10 normally below 20K a year. So they need more resources in the projects. I mean, we want to call it housing developments and make it cute, Columbia Park, whatever. It's the projects. They need more direct services on hand so people can go and learn how to create entrepreneur skills, how to get out the projects, how to budget their money so that they're able to buy a house. So
where to get where to get jobs so that they would be able to pay I think a lot of times about this lately is like there's this huge emphasis for kids to go to college, and that's great, but again, there's a lot of folks that either I went to college, and one of the things that I realized coming out of it was I became a teacher, and that's people could look at me as very successful, but I still live extremely paycheck to paycheck. I have tons of student debt, stuff like that. But when you look at things like the trades, like
electricians, welding,
Are like the most important jobs in the world, because without that you don't have a city. Without the lights working, you don't have without electricity, you don't have lights working. Without the plumber, you can't.
With that, you have to ask yourself, why don't charter schools have that built within their curriculums?
Because I thought that
sounds that used to be in certain schools, huh? They used to be in school.
Right.
You used to be able to go to get your barbers.
Booker T. Washington, you was able to do that there.
Right.
A lot of schools prior before the storm and in the early 90s, late 90s.
Some schools still do it, but it's they private schools.
Yeah. They have a little bit of that. They have I teach in Jefferson Parish. We have like that Coulier School on the West Bank where they have a lot of like trade sorts of stuff. But a friend of mine does graphic design over there. He's a teacher of graphic design over there and stuff like that.
I definitely want to give this organization a shout out so that people can refer to this for different types of trades and services that they may be interested in. There's something called Limitless Vistas. and it's open to kids who are in high school. And what that organization does is it allows juniors and seniors to come through their program to learn skills such as welding, electrician, plumbing, whatever that case may be, while also still being able to attend school, and they get paid for it.
Yeah.
So although this isn't built in curriculums, Limitless Vistas have some opportunities for high school kids who are interested in doing something like that.
Yeah. Do you know if they work with the trade unions at all, or?
I'm pretty sure they do, because upon graduation, like, kids are automatically certified and they get the tools and stuff that they need. Yeah. So Limitless Vistas, if you're interested in getting a trade, definitely check them out if you're a high school student.
Yeah, I wish somebody would put me in a program like that. I went to school all those years, and so they kept telling me I got to go to college, and now I make pizza.
Right. Or even, like culinary. That's a thing. That's important,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, there's not really a lot of culinary skill that goes into what I do.
Yeah.
So, cool. Yeah, so what, I guess, is different, back to the project that you're working on, Vincent, what's different about this one than, like, other projects that you worked on, going forward?
My group, my journey, my word uses, like, my vocabulary, just everything about it will be different, style of beats, the topics, you know.
How's it different? Like it just, can you, like, describe, like,
one, like, as far as for my song, like, I never use a touch on politics and different things like that, but, like, as my song represents, and I'm basically talking about those low income, you know, projects and places like that, like, I kind of spoke from a part as just where I came from. Now I'm kind of speaking out for others on a more general note. So now it's kind of a bigger, I'm just using my voice, you know, as a bigger commodity versus just kind of speaking from my own experience. I'm kind of, like, trying to touch people, basically. In this project, I feel like it would touch people. Cool. From, you know, if you're in this environment, and if you're not in that environment, you can feel what I'm kind
of
saying.
Is there much of a music industry in New Orleans? Because I know there's a lot of, like, there's a couple of jazz bands and stuff like that, but
I mean, the history here. I mean,
yeah, they got some history. They got
The city is still up and running because of cultural barriers. Yeah. I mean,
right. So it's connected, but, you know, they don't always, like,
get the recognition.
Right. And it's like, with this city, it's like, we don't kind of connect and kind of stick together. So it's like, we have all the resources. We have all the talent from sports, music, all this poise, all type of stuff. But it's like, we just not the type of city like other cities that's willing to stick together and, you know, where all us can.
Crabs in a barrel.
Basically. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we
trying to take each other down, huh?
Right. Instead of bring each other up. So we definitely have the talent. We definitely have the industry. It's not where it should be, just because of that factor that Raisha just said. So that's really the whole thing. They definitely have a music industry down here, though.
Yeah,
I was just gonna say, my experience with the music industry is really, really, really focused on jazz. Part of, you know, just building the mystique of New Orleans is, like, a lot of traditional jazz. You get a lot of opportunities. You can play somewhere if you know how to play a trumpet. If you play weird stuff, you know, you don't get as many opportunities. Like, it doesn't even have to be that weird. Just as long as it's not jazz, you don't get that kind of. Yeah.
Right. I mean, you know, I wouldn't say the easiest, but, you know, if you, like, in bands or, like, you know, live bands, those type of things, they get that type of recognition and love faster than probably New Orleans just artists would get, because, you know, who doesn't like some jazz music or maybe, like, second line playing, those different type of things. So it's like, they're going to get that type of hype before up and coming artists or poet. You know,
yeah, it's like the most familiar.
Yeah, and that's, like, what we kind of known for. So that's what they're going to look at that first. Like, oh, you do, you know, that's why when people say, when you say you do music or you're an artist, everybody always asks what type of music you do.
Yeah.
You know? So you definitely have a music industry, though.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically what it is.
Cool. Well, we're about to play a track for you and for your most, you know, your upcoming
project.
So I guess you want to talk a little bit about it, and then we can play it on our way out.
Yeah, it's
set us up a little bit.
Yeah, it's called Represent.
Represent.
It's going to be on my upcoming project, Against the Odds. It'll be coming out next year. sometime next year. Date is it's open right now, but it's gonna be out next year pretty soon. It's called Represent. It's just basically you're your own representation as a person. So, you know, the person, the man you see in the mirror, the person, the woman, you know, you represent yourself at the end of the day. So, and it's just also speaking on those type of lack of resources that we have in them type of environments, and that lead some people up those paths to destruction.
Cool. So this is Represent. We're going to play that, and then we'll come right back. So here we go.
This for all my boys, get them damn presidents. Came in the game, you know I've been reppin' since. Fire in my eyes every time I'm stepping in. Devil at the door, no, I can't let him in. 10 toes down, that's just how you represent. Tryna stay focused, no, I can't let him win. Gotta beat them odds, no, I gotta represent. One for all my dogs who be out on the block. Two for all my dogs who be punching the clock. Three for all my dogs who be ducking the cops. Get it by any means, gotta get to the top. Represent. What you supposed to do when you stuck in the trap? And you down to your last, jobs ain't calling you back. And you ain't got no time for waiting, that just holding you back. Because your fam gotta eat, that just life in the trap. And the bills rolling in, and you down in your sack. The only option is the block, you start moving the packs. You start risking all your freedom, messing with that look. And it's kill to be killed, so you clutch on your gat. Cause you deep up in the jungle with the lions and rats. Can't forget about the snakes, you know they come from the back. Cops watch you like a hawk, cause they see that you black. And if you get caught with it, just gonna give you a stretch. You leave your family in the world, got them fighting for scraps. And you in the inside, God telling you fetch. And you reaching out the homies, they ain't calling you back. Now your child in that cycle, I'm just speaking the facts. Represent, represent, you just gotta represent. This for all my boys, get them damn presidents. Came in the game, you know I've been reppin' since. Fire in my eyes every time I'm stepping in. Devil at the door, no, I can't let him in. 10 toes down, that's just how you represent. Tryna stay focused, no, I can't let him win. Gotta beat them odds, no, I gotta represent. One for all my dogs who be out on the block. Two for all my dogs who be punching the clock. Three for all my dogs who be ducking the cops. Get it by any means, gotta get to the top. Represent. Time is trying to take us, system trying to break us. Every day I wake up, I'm just trying to stay up. I can't really end up in no box with no makeup. Wanna see my wrist iced out like it's from Jacob. System trying to play us, hope my dogs wake up. We just going hard like them old two Lakers. Started with a layup, now we going way up. We gon' bump forever, baby, I know they gon' hate us. They look at us like predators, we tryna get our cheddar. They label us minorities, why they so competitive? Get them boys a gun in the bag, think they ahead of us. They don't wanna see us be great, they afraid of us. I got real scars from these real wars. Ain't no time for playing with these little boys. The figures in the room, they be making all the real noise. I see they tryna knock me down, but I stay up on my guard. Represent, represent, you just gotta represent. This for all my boys, get them damn presidents. Came in the game, you know I've been reppin' since. Fire in my eyes every time I'm stepping in. Devil at the door, no, I can't let him in. 10 toes down, that's just how you represent. Tryna stay focused, no, I can't let him win. Gotta beat them odds, no, I gotta represent. One for all my dogs who be out on the block. Two for all my dogs who be punching the clock. Three for all my dogs who be ducking the cops. Get it by any means, gotta get to the top. Represent. This for my real champions who fight the odds every day to get to survive. I expect everybody who just know what they gotta do to get it. Be the champions for life. League of champions. You just gotta keep your head up no matter what. Represent.
All right, there There you go. That was Represent from V Butter. What did you guys think of Represent?
Once we get a phone line, we can find out, get a little feedback. Mm-hmm.
So tell us a little bit, just specifically about that track. We got about 5 minutes.
But yeah, that track just weighs on just some of the issues and challenges that people face like me every day and go through. So from those environments. So that's basically just giving people an inside look, you know, and an inside feel of what's going on in those type of environments. Because they have those people that's in power, that's not really doing this and that, and, you know, they don't really care like that. So It's basically like a message to them, message to everybody, to people who in the environments, outside environments, just to say, we feel you, we hear you, and, you know, we coming and we trying.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Well, and just one more time, where can we find more information about both the League of Champions and more about your art?
For my music and just for Instagram, for social media, it's VButta, VBUTTAA. For Twitter, it's the same thing, VBUTTAA with an extra A. So 3 A's for Twitter. You can find my music on Tidal, SoundCloud, Apple Music, Spotify,
YouTube.
There you go.
All the different platforms.
Cool. And League of Champions.
League of Champions. You know, it's on the way. I'm just building it, and it'll release sometime around the same time as the project. And project name is Against the Odds.
Cool. And Braisha. So, where can we find more information about the work that you're doing, People versus Politics, and anything else you want to talk about?
So the People versus Politics campaign is still developing, but if you want to get in contact with me to see how you can support it, you can follow me on Instagram at FOR_the_youth, or you can follow me on Facebook at Braisha Harness. That is still my main name, BRIDEISHA, last name Harness, or you can email us at The People versus Politics campaign at gmail.com.
Cool. Well, thank you all so much again for coming on. Good morning, comrade. You just let us know if you ever want to come back and talk about anything else you have
going
on.
We'll be back.
Oh, okay.
We'll be back. I love it. We appreciate it.
Of course. Well, thank you all so much. And you can listen to Good Morning, Comrade every Tuesday on WHIV LP New Orleans 102.3 at 8 o'clock. You can also check out our website for more information, goodmorningcomrade.com. You can also check us out on Twitter at Comrade Morning, and Facebook, Good Morning Comrade, Instagram, Good Morning Comrade, all those things. So thank you so much again for coming to the studio.
No problem.
All right. Bye, everybody. We love you. Hola, pon, 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 hola, pon